Be still and know that I am God. And yet in the middle of this world, we have so many things that are clamoring for our attention. So many things that get excitable and in our face and keep us from drawing into quietness. We have a tendency to want to handle things ourselves. We want to quiet the ache of our heart. But are we really willing to be still and know that He is God? Instead of being still, we might decide that I need to sit and binge on a TV show. Instead of being still, we might want to check out and see what all our friends are doing on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all that yada yada stuff. Instead of being still, and hearing the voice of God, we might decide that we need to find a bottle of alcohol, a herb that might mellow us out, prescription drugs, anything to quiet the ache of our heart. Finding a poor substitute for what God guarantees that He can give us if we will just simply be still. It's a hard thing in today's world. And even this morning, as I was feverishly getting ready for the message and, you know, pulling the pieces of the puzzle together, the Lord said, wait, there's an illustration in there. Rob, I want you to just be still. 10 minutes. And, you know, I have the standard argument there, but Lord, if I don't get this done, what's going to happen on the service on Sunday? I mean, I won't have my message on. 10 minutes is a long time. I need that time, Lord. Because I think that it's all up to us. Or I think that all the solution is dependent upon us. What do you do when trouble comes your way? It's not if, it's when. Right? Because Jesus tells us in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, speaking to His disciples, before on His way to the cross, while they're all gathered in that upper room, these things have I spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Yes, you're going to have tribulation. Yes, there is always those things that are clamoring around you for your attention. But He can give peace. Instead of pursuing those short-term excuses, escapes, we need to be still, let it go, leave it alone. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24 has a word in there that refers to this be still part. And it's kind of a great illustration, because if you remember in Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel is sitting on this edge of the river. And as he's on the edge of the river, he has these three objects come racing towards him. And there are three what the scripture calls cherubim. And you can read the description there in Ezekiel chapter 1. But the point is that they have a wheel inside a wheel that's constantly turning. They have their hands that are flapping and flying. They have hands covering their eyes and hands covering their feet. And it's just a picture of three things of busyness. And in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24, it says, and then they went, and I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host. And when they stood, they let down their wings. Be still. Let down your wings. Stop trying to go somewhere and be something. It's not that we're getting rid of our responsibilities, but for a moment, in the midst of our trials and tribulations, we need to let down all our devices, all our escapes, and we need to be still so that we can know that He is God. We need to be still. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And here's us, because we don't do this. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And so we get to fretting because we think that we need to follow the way other people are handling it. We need to develop a plan. We need to have a checklist. We need to have a plan of action. And God says, I have brought you to this place for right now. I just need you to be still so that you know that I am God. I am the one that is in control. Be still and come back. Yes, we all have troubles. Yes, we all have problems. Yes, we all have hardships. But God says to us right now, he says, if you're going to get into the battle, the first thing you need to learn is you need to be still. Before the troops go out and they fight a battle, they will gather together and they need to be still and they need to listen to their commander as he gives the instructions, as he shows them the plan. And the problem is we don't take that time to make sure that we're spending time in the presence of our Lord so we can receive the instructions, so we can receive the plan. And then we go running out in there into battle, and all of a sudden we're going, oh no, what is going on? Oh, who's in control around here? Because we were never still. We never were still in the eyes of the Lord. Let's take a look at what David did when he was in difficult circumstances. You know, if you go through 1 Samuel, you see that in 1 Samuel, Saul is anointed king. After all the times of judges, all of a sudden Saul is anointed king. And he's to be the king over Israel. And he starts out real good, but he very quickly does a downward spiral and decides that he needs to do things his way. And he doesn't take time to wait on the Lord. And so he gets rejected. And God says, I'm still going to give a king to Israel, but instead of Saul, I am picking David. Now, how would you like that? You just lost your job. And so Saul, being a rather fleshly appetited man, having the Spirit of the Lord depart from him, he gets very angry with David. A few times while he's sitting there playing a harp, trying to soothe Saul's irritated soul, Saul picks up a spear and he throws him at him. And he dodges. And he makes it. Finally, it comes to the point that David has to leave the king. He has to leave the country because Saul is so mad at him. All he wants to do is kill him because he feels his life threatened. And then we see in 1 Samuel 24:14, Saul is chasing David all over the hills and dales. David feels like a flea. But there in 1 Samuel 24:14, it says, after whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dog? After a flea? 1 Samuel 26:20 says, now therefore let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. And we see this comparison going on of how Saul was just relentlessly pursuing David. But it's here. We learn that David was still. And he got to know that. Do you realize that in that pursuing Saul, chasing David over hill and dale, twice now, David was this close to Saul. Twice he had the opportunity to kill him. The first time, he just cut off a piece of his garment. And he says, Saul, I was this close to you and I did nothing to you, because I believe that you're the anointed of God and it is not my place to interfere with God's plan. The second time, he and one other person, they snuck in the camp while all the camp, the entire military camp, slept. And they went right up to Saul's bedside. And they picked up his spear. And one of the guys would say, David, let me get him. It'll only take me one smite. I'll smite him once and that'll well be done with this and it'll be all over. And he said, no. They take the spear. They took his water supply and they walked out of the camp. And they stood on the mountain and said, Saul! Saul!
Let it be known that I was this close to you. Send your men up to get the spear and the water. And I did not touch you because I believe you're to be God's anointed. You see, he didn't feel like he had to fight the battle. He felt that the battle was the Lord. He was at rest with that idea that God was in control. And every single one of you out there, you know, you all have things that you're wrestling with. You have all have things that are making you irritated. And the question is are you willing to take the time and be still and know that the Lord is in charge? That he has a plan. Are you willing, or do you want to get in there and take action and get rid of that problem? Try to kill it when God says, wait. There's a time. And I got to be careful when I say this, because, you know, there are times when God says, I want you to get up and I want you to do something. And we need to respond. That's not the time to be still and say, God, I don't want to do that.
Right.
That's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying there's a time when we sit back and we say, Lord, I leave it and I surrender it into your hands. That's what David did. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, it says, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you have seen them again, you will see them again no more. Israel was there. And if you can imagine, you're running for your life. It's not just a group of people. It's 2 million people all gathered together. And you look out, and over the hill comes a whole cloud of dust as the army of chariots and all the foot soldiers of the Pharaoh are coming, and they're attacking you. And they're on their way. And Moses doesn't say, get up and run. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. On some of those problems that you have to deal with, it is time for you to stand still and see that God is going to provide deliverance like he did with Israel. Israel many times was called to be still, but they would not. In Isaiah 30, verse 7, it says, for the Egyptians shall hate help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. What does that talk about? Well, sometimes the only time that we think that God's at work is if we're doing something. But sometimes God says, sit. In Isaiah, Jerusalem is surrounded by an oncoming army. An army that far outnumbers those. They're surrounded. They have nothing. And they say, well, I know what we'll do. We'll go make a treaty with Egypt. And we'll get Egypt to come in and defend us. And God says, hey, no, that's not the solution. I want you to stand still. Sometimes running out and getting another opinion, sometimes running out and trying to find another avenue is not what God wants for you. He wants you to stand still and watch him provide. We can go to another passage in Isaiah, and we see that in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, it says, thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In returning and in rest. It's not always in fleeing and running from the enemy, but sometimes we need to return to the place that we are most comfortable with, and we need to sit and be still and let God bring the victory. The battle is the Lord's. We are not always called to stand up and fight. Sometimes we're asked to stand back and watch what he is going to do. And so we have to be sensitive to that. But you're never going to find out if you don't be still and know that he is God. You need to know what the will of God is. You need to be listening for that voice. How does that voice come? A lot of people say, well, I've never heard God go, Rob, it's time, sit still. And you know what? Neither have I. But what happens? What happens is, like this morning during Sunday school, I'm sitting there and we're reading the passage and we're talking about I forget what we were even talking about, but all of a sudden the correlation between the nation of Israel and the submission of Christ came right into view. God spoke in that moment to my heart and to my mind. That was God speaking. And God is going to give you a aha moment, if you want to call it that. Or he's going to speak and he's going to give you a thought that you say, where did that come from? Right? And God has that ability.
But we're never going to be able to hear it if we're not still. If we're so busy clamoring around and saying, well, let's see, what else can I do? Let's read this book. This has answers in it. Oh, let's do this exercise program. It'll fix me up. Oh, let's eat this diet. Let's fix. And God says, be still. Yes, even when it comes to your diet, God says, be still.
I know that I am God.
And so there's that need that we have to be still. So what is God doing, you say? When called on by the Lord, we are to sit still. When he asks us to sit still, there is a purpose. We evidence faith by waiting for the Lord to provide deliverance and relief. What am I saying? Sometimes, when I just come and I sit before the Lord, I am showing faith. I want to do something. I want to make a plan. I want to have a plan of action. God says, just sit there. Just sit there. And if I sit here, what is that? That is the greatest act of faith, because I'm doing what God has asked me. And that is pleasing to God. You say, what? You're not doing anything. That's not what God asked me to do right then and there. There are other times when I have to take a step of faith, right? God says, I want you to step off of this cliff and I'll take care of you. Large exaggeration, okay? Do not do this at home.
That's right.
Okay? But that is another form of trust. But faith sometimes is to be still and know that he is God, to see how God is going to provide your deliverance. To embark on a battle despite failures in the past, trusting the Lord will deliver in his time. Israel had several battles they went into after asking the Lord for guidance and then failed. Lost. People, this has always boggled me. But I see it now that I get into this context. Do you know, I can think of at least three battles that Israel went into. And they said, Lord, should we go fight these people? And the Lord said, yeah, go fight these people. And this is what the scripture saying. This isn't some prophet. The scripture says this, right? So they go running into battle and they get beat. And they come back and they say, I'm never going to talk to the Lord again. No, that's not what they say. They say, Lord, we went. What happened? And he says, the time's not quite right. Bear with me. Go again. And there was one time they went three times into battle. They lost three times into battle. They still came and asked the Lord what to do. And the Lord says, now go. The fourth time, Mike, what? That's faith.
Yeah.
Right? They went into battle and they defeated the enemy. They trounced the enemy. They chased them all the way out of the land of Israel because they were still and they continued to listen to the voice of God. They did whatever the Lord said. And sometimes, you know, we are going to go and we're going to be sitting here and we're going to be waiting on the Lord, and people are going to come up and they're going to bonk us on the head, figuratively speaking. Right? Our situations are going to beat the tar out of us. And we're going to say, but Lord, I did as you told me, I did it. He says, bear with me. I have a plan. Just keep going. There's a lesson learned here. There'll be the lesson learned in the next time. But I ultimately will give you the deliverance that you are seeking. The Lord is so gracious. Every single one of you here has a problem that you've been dealing with, that I have dealt with over and over and over again. And we say, Lord, if the battle is yours, how come I'm not winning this battle? And the Lord's saying, have you been still? Have you allowed me to just sit there and help you to understand what's going on? Help you to understand what you need to worry about and what you don't need to worry about? What you need to rely on your abilities and what you need to rely on my abilities. Are you listening to me? Are you being still and knowing that I'm God? Or are you still thinking that you're the one that's in charge? Maybe that's why these things are so persistent in your life. And I've seen it happen to me. Where I've been wrestling with a particular sin that the Lord has revealed to me. And I'd say, I got it, I'm under control. Let's just take weight loss, okay? I got it under control. Oh, I lost a whole bunch of weight. And then I'm back to eating again. And I say, Lord, I don't want to eat. I don't like these love handles. And I'm back to eating again, right? But in each one of those situations, what is it? I'm learning that my dependence has to be on the Lord, not on some plan that I'm on, right. Not on this, not on my own motivation. I have to say, Lord, I want what you want. I want to go where you want me to go. And so be still. Be still. Can you be still in today's world? Do you have a hard time being still in today's world? I mean, think about it. We have music wherever we go. You know, you just turn on. How many of you can get in your TV in your car and not turn on the radio?
It's hard.
How many of you can go home and not turn on the TV?
Depends what time.
Okay? It's difficult for most of us. Thank you those that are, have control over it. Right? But these are the things that we wrestle with. This is the sound. This is the things that are bombarding our heads. Those of you that are in the business world and still in the education mode, the educational system is bombarding you with a whole lot of garbage. Contrary to the scriptures, mind you. But you got to sit there and listen to it. How are you going to clean yourself up from that? Be still and let God reveal himself to you. It is be still and know that I am God. Because the battle is the Lord's. He is the one that works on timing. He is the one that works on supplies. He is the one that decides when victory is going to be won. After 3 years of famine and 3 years of waiting by the brook Cherith, God called Elijah before the crowning moment of God sending fire down from heaven. 3 years he had to wait. He had to even get up and move once. Here he was sitting. God says, I'm going to send famine on the land. No food. Okay? Food's going to be very hard to get. And so God says, I want you to get up and I want you to go to this brook and I'm going to send ravens to bring you food every day. Yuck. Hey, when you're in a tight space, you'll eat just about anything. And so God provided for him. Then the brook dried up and he had to go elsewhere. And so he goes to stay with a widow and God provides for him through a widow who was at the verge of being dying herself. She was gathering her last sticks and to bake her last meal so they could die, and God provided for him. God said, wait 3 years. And then when the time was right, God says, I want you to go and challenge the prophets of Baal. And they got there, and because he had waited on the Lord, because he was still and quiet while God brought him through this time, God rained fire down from heaven and consumed the entire altar, the entire cow, the entire water that had been soaked on there because the time was right. He was still and he knew now, and the people around him knew that it was God that was in control. There in Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. But that's not the end of that verse. It says, I will be exalted among the heathen. When Elijah was still before the Lord, God was exalted. Because all those people that were involved in Baal worship, they realized that there was only one God that could light a fire on an altar. That their priests, though they were bloody and though they were tired and exhausted, they could not call down fire from Baal. But God sent fire down because the timing was right. Because Elijah was willing to wait on the Lord. Because Elijah looked to God's timing and he looked to God's way, and the people quickly turned. Now the sad thing about Israel is Israel would go, yay God! Yay Baal. Yay God! It was a... Hey, that sounds like us, doesn't it? Okay? And so that's what happened. When trouble comes our way, let us go before the Lord and ask Him what to do. Ask Him how to do it. Ask Him when to do it. All of those things. He knows. All of those things he has control of. The question is, are we willing to seek him out? What changes do we need to make in our lives? What is the thing that you need to wait on the Lord? My prayer since I started, since God gave me the idea of this message, has always been, Lord, help them to discover what you want them to wait on. what they need to discover from you, that you might give them the victory, that they might see the battle as the Lord's, but they will be willing to sit back and not rush into battle and say, God, where are you? But to sit back and say, God, when, where, and how do I go? The battle is the Lord's, but we must wait on the Lord. What preparations do you need to make? Is your armor on? Ladies, you've been studying about the armor of God. You've been the need to put those things on daily. But if you're not making the effort, will the armor get put on? Right? If you're not cooperating, maybe you need an armor bearer that can help you put on that armor. And are you saddled up to somebody that can help you in the midst of that? Are you trusting somebody to help you say, this is what the Lord wants you to do? This is what I think God is saying to you? You know, too often in today's world, we are all by ourselves and we want to stay by ourselves. And I'm as guilty as the next person, but the truth of the matter is God has called us together as a family. We are fam. We are the church fam, right? And we need to be leaning on each other. And we need to be listening to each other because God can keep us while we wait on Him. It's not easy to wait, but God can help us. Through other people, help us to see, oh, wait, but you have to be honest. You have to be willing to engage. You can't leave it untouched. Do not be surprised when the Lord says, be still. Wait on the Lord. The battle is His. He will take care of you. And He may not require any assistance from you other than the faith to believe that He is on the throne. I wish I had more to say, but that's it. Because really the biggest test of this entire message is, are you going to make a commitment today to sit and be still, to be quiet and listen for the voice of God? Rather than running in and saying, I got to do this, I got to fix this, I got to fix this. No, be still and know that He is God. He is hopefully your God. And if you don't know what I mean by that, then it's time for us to sit down and have a nice long discussion about the fact that He has done everything that is necessary for you to be a child of God. It is all done. But are you willing? Are you willing to be still and discover what God has for you? Are you willing to be still and discover how God wants to help you? Are you willing to be still and have God show you how to deal with that is disturbing your heart the most? Be still and know that I am God, because then the heathen will exalt Him. The entire ends of the earth will exalt God. But it starts with you and your willingness to wait. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray. Father, it doesn't take a lot of words to challenge us. It takes your Spirit. And so, Lord, your Spirit has been moving here this morning. Your Spirit is touching and helping people to wrestle with the fact that there are things that they need to wait on you. There's things that they need to be still and stop clamoring and trying to find a way around it, but be willing to accept the fact that you will provide the answer in the proper time. And so, Lord, I pray for each and every individual that's wrestling with those things, that you will give them the confidence, that you will give them the faith to be still, and that they might discover that you are God. And as a result of their faith and the work that you do in and through them, that the nations will exalt the name of the Lord Jesus. So all the ends of the earth, the name of Jesus will be exalted. Lord, you promised us that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And we pray that this might be true as you work, and help us to be still and know that you are God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand, if you will, and join me for our hymn of invitation. This hymn of invitation is not just a nice little song that we sing. It's a way for you to close out this message, to apply it to your heart and life, to see what God wants to do. But the decisions are yours. I can't make them for you. But I'm giving you an opportunity. If you need to, stop singing. Focus on that thought. And just put it before the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be still and discover what your plan